Domestic Disputes, everyone. My name is Russell Hicks, and with me, as always, my life partner, my girlfriend, Zara Berry.
Hello.
This marks day, what, 376, that you're the only person I've spoken to in person?
Yeah, I think so. Still. Is it that long? I did go away for a bit, though. I went in the summer. I went to see my family, so you had a bit of a break from me.
Oh, yes. I remember.
Those precious days.
I remember that time last summer. I was alone again with my thoughts. Hello, old friends. It's been a while.
You get upset when I go away for too long. You say you miss me.
Yeah, it's weird. You
want me to leave, and then you say I miss you.
I sit around thinking, I love this person, but boy, a little me time would be all right. And then you're gone for 10 minutes and I fall to pieces. It's too weird. It's like, it's too quiet when you leave. It's bizarre.
Stockholm syndrome,
I think
maybe.
So. That's the only explanation I can think of. But you're here now, and I'm glad, because the first topic today is such a treat for me, because this is probably one of the first times on this podcast where you are going to sound crazier than me, because up to now, as has been evident in, you know, the episodes, but also people's feedback, is that I'm a lunatic. I mean, I judge people for getting Ubers to grocery stores. It's endless. But this is something we started talking about this week that I was blown away at how much this irritates you.
Mm-hmm.
You say
I think it's more the fact that you don't have any empathy. And I think in this case, my empathy may be questionable, but
I have no, but that's a pretty bold statement, but I'll let that go. I have no empathy. Wow. Okay.
You are defunct
cool.
Of it.
Yeah. Me. So I'm a sociopath. The way you just said that, I have no empathy. And yeah, man's outside, gets hit by a bus. I'm like, eh, shut the blinds. Whatever. Okay. If a friend asks you to help them move.
Yeah.
Is that rude? And you, when we start talking about that, your opinion is that it's beyond rude. You explain how you feel about a friend asking you to help them move.
Oh, it's a complete deal breaker. Friendship is over.
Deal breaker.
Yeah.
Who's got empathy now?
I'm sorry. I would never, ever, ever ask any of my friends to help me move house. It is one of those things that the only people you can ask are your parents. And even then, you feel a little bit bad about it. But, it's just, I would never ask a friend to help me move. It's the worst thing ever, moving. By the time you get to 35, you've probably moved like 12 times. And it is a fucking ball ache every time. Why would you inflict it on a friend? And also, it's the way they ask. It's like, hey, do you want to go get coffee? Hey, do you want to help me like move out of my flat and move into a flat that is also on the top floor?
There is a deception there. There is a deception. And when they ask you, they say, hey, man, how's it going? Oh, did you see Joker? And that's like they know you're in. Mm. They know you're available. And then they hit you with the can you?
Yes.
Nobody ever says, can you help me move? But you're okay. And nobody likes to help anyone move. Okay. This is why you can only ask a friend, because I mean, I'm with you to a point, but I'm saying, you know, when you're about 33, our age or whatever, 35, you know, like your parents are elderly people. So you're saying you want to bother that. You're saying it's more noble to drag these frail, you know, people out and have them carry your belongings?
If your parents are incapacitated, right, then if you can afford to move, you can afford to get a man with a van.
Oh, so you're saying you should have to really?
Or several
come
Ubers.
On, those guys are expensive. Listen, I'll tell you right now, after moving into this place, I think it, and your dad was incredible to help us, but I think getting movers is worth the money. I don't know how much it is.
Totally worth it.
I don't know how much it would cost, but I mean, that's not necessarily true that you, if you, if you're, if you can move, then you can afford movers. But so what is so rude to you about, so you're saying your position is that if a friend can ask you to move, then this friend has other resources available? Like, this is just...
No, I just think it's a it reeks of selfishness, because why would you want to inflict that experience on a friend when they're not getting anything out of it? At least when you move, you get the pleasure of being in your new flat or new house. But what does the friend get that's helping you move? And it's all under the ruse of, like, you know, that you're hanging out. You're not hanging out. You're doing the job of several builders. Like, it's just, it's, you know, it's just a complete lack of awareness of what you're actually asking your friend to do.
Right. And the quid pro quo, it's usually under the guise of, I'll help you move when you move. And you're saying,
not necessarily. It's just it's said like, do you want to go get coffee? Do you want to go help me move? No.
So you're saying this is unprecedented. This could be a game changer. You're saying that the appropriate thing to do is the next time somebody asks you to help them move, you just send them back a screenshot of a listing for a mover's website with a price list and everything.
I wouldn't even do that. I'd probably just defriend.
No, that's what you do. You just go, no, here, listen, here's some movers. It's pretty affordable.
I think there's a line in Friends, actually, where Phoebe says, oh, yeah, I totally would, but I don't want to. You know, it's that sort of reaction.
Yeah, yeah. What's wrong with that? And what is wrong with that, really?
What's wrong with what?
Yeah, what? I guess you're right. What's wrong with that? All that, but I mean,
what? Saying no?
Just saying no. Just being like, nah.
Well, a lot.
I don't know, man.
It's
taboo.
To say no.
It's socially taboo. It sort of feels like more. It feels more serious than it is. It's not just someone saying, "I'm not going to help you move." It's like this. If this is how you're acting in this situation, like. I mean, how can I count on you in other areas?
Well, that's the thing. It forces the other person to have to lie and make up a thing that they have, because it's harder to. It feels too harsh to just go, no, I'm not going to help you move because I don't want to do that. So it forces you to go, oh, I would, but my grandmother is coming to see me. You know, you have to forces you to make up a story and lie, and that makes you feel rubbish. It's really hard to just go, no, I don't want to do that. So I just think that it's putting someone in an awkward position, making them feel bad, and also just having no awareness that how awful it is to move, and you're not getting any credit.
You know what it's like? It's the friendship version of passing the cost on to the consumer. You know, when they're like, oh, you can return that, but you pay for the shipping or something like that. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, when a business is like, yeah, you can return that, but you pay for the shipping on the way back or something like that.
Right.
Does that make sense? When they, you know, I'm trying to think of a better example.
Yeah, but
when they pass the cost on to the consumer. So it's like, oh, you could do that, but that's not exactly ethical, is it? So it's the same thing with a friend. It's like, oh, sure, you could exploit me and make me feel bad.
Yeah.
You know, so that you can save a couple of £100 on a mover.
At least you're getting something out of getting if you're returning something, right?
No, really, because it's like, you know, I'm trying to, what's a good example of when they pass the cost on to the consumer? These things drive me crazy every day. I can't believe I can't think of a...
What, you mean when you have to send something back and you...
You pay the shipping back.
Right. I don't,
you're not...
I've never sent anything back to...
What?
Because, I haven't. I said this to my sister the other day.
You've never returned something?
No.
That's actually true. You know what? That is actually true about you. And it's... I've returned many things on your behalf. Because
what?
I've returned a lot of Amazon packages on your behalf.
What have you returned? weren't.
You bought those cables like a year ago that you were going to use for your computer, and they never worked. And so they just sat in the pantry or the and I just thought the pantry, the whatever room we had. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever that room was we had with the laundry. Anyway, and I had to send those. I sent those back to you. But I'm saying this is the friend version of passing the cost on to the consumer. That's the it's the friend version of that. I'm losing you on this concept of cost to. How do you not?
Very good at analogies, I don't understand but I'm not
how do you not get the what about the concept of cost to the consumer? Do you not get? No, passing the cost on to the consumer.
I just don't see your analogy.
It's because it's a cheat. It's a corporate cheat to get you to pay for it.
Here
you go. This is a good example. Tipping in America.
Yeah.
That's the restaurant saying,
yes.
Why would we pay them more?
Yeah.
You do it. And that's why I'm with Mr. Pink on that one. I do tip because I feel guilty, but it's the same exact situation. It's the company saying, well, you pay them. And it's like, no, you should pay them. So that's the equivalent. When your friend asks you to move, they're passing the cost on to the consumer.
So they're going, I could get removal men, but why do that when I can get my friend to help me move
and save money? And there's this social belief that if your friend says, no, he's a bad person. If you don't tip, you're a bad person.
Yeah,
hey, the bad guy here is you, Denny's. You're the one that should be paying these people better wages.
Yeah.
And I'll be standing right next to him on the picket line. So you know what? You've convinced me. The next time a friend asks you to move, let's stop pussyfooting around the issue. Mm. You tell them, listen, moving sucks. Okay? And I don't want to do that. Here is three links to some very affordable movers. I'm fully aware of your annual salary.
I could also say my dad is very, very keen to use his van again.
Oh, and yeah.
And, we'll just drive from Taunton.
Call Zara's dad because he's raring to go.
He loves it. He loves moving.
He loves
people.
It. That's the thing. If you do ask your parents, that's the other thing. You know, you're asking your friends when, to be honest, you have no idea. Your parents... when your dad is past a certain age, he just sits around hoping somebody needs him to drive a van. That's all your dad is doing right now is sitting.
Helps his self-worth.
Your dad is sitting by the phone and just waiting for somebody to call him and give him a reason to drive a van.
It's like your dad in the jacuzzi. You know, if you mention the jacuzzi, I'll get the hot tub. I mean, I'll get
started
right now. He's like ready to get it started for like anyone that comes in.
Yeah. Yeah. Dads buy appliances and they just like at any opportunity they want to be able to use it.
But do you know what it also is? It's a bit like when a friend says, do you want to watch me go shopping for socks or something? Like, I'm not really a shopper with my girlfriend.
What, they want to go shopping with you?
Yeah, and then they just do all their sort of chores while they shop. You know, they go, oh, I need to go to like, I need to get some cleaning products or whatever. And you're just sort of traipsing around the shops with them.
Yeah, I've ended relationships that started because of that.
Yes, I remember that but date like, that you had.
But I went on a first date with someone and they said, hey, can we just stop in this John Lewis?
Well, she took you to Oxford Street.
Took me to like John Lewis and I was like, what? We're already doing the like forced shop on day one? God, no. Anyway, nice person, but not
I'm
for
such
me.
A man when it comes to shopping. I just...
Yeah, you sound... Raining. You really sound like you just don't like spending time with your friends. So I... wow. It makes sense that the only time you left the house was last summer. Anyway, moving on. Controversial topic. It was brought to my attention recently by a very reputable source. I have an out-of-office response that... operates on my email, and I took time to write it, you know, well, because I think I wanted it to be a little bit funny, but I didn't want it to be rude, but I wanted it to get the message across that, like, seriously, call me or text me if you need this responded within a week, because I can't make any promises here, and that week has even gotten to be It's like Bill Murray's answering machine.
It's a very specific amount of time. You say, "Hi, I'm not available right now. I'll get back to you within a week."
About a week.
No. You go. I'll get back to you in a week.
In about a week. I say in about a week.
It's very specific.
I say in about a week.
Right.
But I say, hey, if you need this answered before that, here's my phone number. Please WhatsApp me and text me.
Yeah.
Like, you're welcome to text me. I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Like, you're not bothering me. I make that clear in the email. It was brought to my attention that perhaps the phrase in about a week sounds a bit rude. Now, what do you think?
I would have just said an unspecified amount of time. So I will get back to you ASAP or something, you know, as soon as I can. But in about a week sounds sort of a bit like very lackadaisical, like, oh, in a week. Like,
so it does sound
when
rude.
When is a week, though? Like, when?
So it's
the day you sent it, or how long are you out of the office for? Because most people are... They say, I'm out of the office for this period of time, but you're just very unspecific.
Well, I've gotten a lot of compliments on it. People say, oh, they think it's funny, because I do say like a little thing at the end. I say, our operators are standing by, something stupid like that. But if the weak part, I'll take it out.
I don't think it's rude. It's just a bit random, that amount of time.
Okay. I think I have a feeling that like out of offices are just a bit, people find them, they're like rude to people. Because it's a little jarring. Like, we don't live in that culture right now. Like, this culture is like, you be available. And if you're not, like, it's a bit... But it's very hard to just go, well, no, I'm not.
No, I quite enjoy it. Because when I was working in offices, I quite enjoyed out of offices. Because a lot of people would put, like... Hi, like, so if I'm emailing a colleague and I forget they're on holiday, and then it pings back and it goes, hi, Rachel is sunning herself in Marbella for the next 2 weeks, so I'll get back to your email on the 24th of June or something. And it's like, it says something like, oh, they're on holiday, they're, you know, that's nice, you know. Now people are having out of offices, apparently it's not the OOO anymore, it's the OOH, out of home.
So okay.
People are like, I think it's nice because you go, oh, you're having a break. And also, I had a really good out of office from one of my lecturers. It said, it wasn't an out of office. It was a thing that said, they've emailed you, but then the email signature, it said, just because I have emailed you out of office hours does not mean that I expect you to answer this email swiftly out of office hours. So it's basically like going, even though I've sent this email at the weekend,
yeah,
you don't need to answer it.
Okay.
Swiftly. And I thought, that's so nice. I thought, that's really nice that you've acknowledged that you've sent it at the weekend, but I don't expect a reply.
Okay.
Because it's the weekend.
Yeah. I've never had anyone like, I think there's a fear that like, I know people wouldn't do it because I'm not trying to be rude. I think people will thank me because science has shown that you're more stressed out doing email. You're more stressed out doing text messages. So essentially what I'm saying is I'm going like, look, if like most email exchanges are like, can we do that? Sure. Okay, great. Thanks. Bye. Like, it's pointless. That amount of time had to transpire. Like, that takes 3 hours for something that could have taken like 2 seconds on a phone call or, you know, something like that. So I'm just basically saying, like, I'll get to this, but like, if you just want to give me a shout, like, dude, like, let's just bash. I've never had anyone be like, oh, I got his out of office reply. I found that so unprofessional that he will no longer be. I've retracted whatever offer it was.
Has anyone ever got in touch with you via the text, the mobile phone number that you leave on your out of office?
Constantly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So then...
Works like a charm. Constantly. Here's what people do a lot. They message me and say, hey, I sent you an email with that thing.
Right.
Like if it's like, oh, you need to, like, I need you to read that thing, like now.
Yeah.
They'll go, oh, I sent you that whatever script or something in the, like, I sound like I'm some Matthew McConaughey here. But it's like someone, and I just go, all right, cool. And that's sort of them going, you don't have to read it right now. You don't even have to read it tomorrow, but it is in there.
Mm.
And that's it. It's fine.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's.
But maybe, but I guess the week thing, but I mean, it's been working so well for so long that I just thought, why is the week so rude? I don't get it.
I think you've put your mobile phone number on it, so it's not like you're not contactable. You're just going, I'm not on my email. So
yeah,
if it's urgent,
and I say, and I make it clear, like, please call me, like, you're not bothering me if you call me at all.
Yeah, because you prefer, because you're very like, you can't compartmentalize your admin quite a lot, because you're either on, like, I always have access to my email most of the time on my phone, whereas you log into your emails, you know, it's like, okay, you don't check your emails, well, for about a week.
I have two different emails though.
Right.
I've done a separate one now that is always on, that only like two people have the email address to. So it's because it's urgent stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't give it to just everybody.
That's really smart.
Yeah, because there are some that I did come to a point where I was like, okay, I'm going to need to check this every day. But like, it's, I just think, I guess my broader point is not to defend my own. I think it works for me. I've never, like, knock on wood, to this day, I have not, no one has ever been like, never mind. How dare you? You have an out of office reply. I don't know. Like, do you just think? I just think. Do you think there's just a perception that they're just kind of rude?
Hang on a second.
Like, in general,
how often do you have your out of office on?
Oh God,
it's
always on now.
It is actually always on. I think that's more of the issue.
No, because
you never take your out of office off.
No. Hey, I've only had one. This recent.
You've got a
I'll just say complaint.
Out of office.
The time that it was brought to my attention recently is the only time in like 5 years that anyone's ever been like, hey, that's like rude. And I'm like, but again, it's just the issue of like the about a week. I don't know. I just feel like, I guess like, I was just trying to give them a time, like, hey, you know, about a week.
Which is true.
It will be about a week. What am I supposed to say? I'll check it tomorrow? That's not true.
Yeah, I know, but it's just like, If your out of office is always on,
yeah,
and then it always says I'll get back to you in about a week, then the time frame is quite like, what?
I think when do you know what? It might even say I never check my emails.
I think it might do,
which is true. So I say, hey, listen, I rarely check this email. So if this is this is important,
right.
Call me. Here's my phone number. Which, by the way, my phone number has fallen into a lot of hands. You know,
yes.
a lot of like random people have got my phone number, which
well,
is fine.
That's probably because what happens, right, is I get a lot of comedians messaging me on Facebook, telling me, can you get in touch with Russell, blah, blah, blah. Or in the end, I just give them your phone number.
Well, that's fine. And that's totally cool. I want it. I'll give it. I'll put it on this podcast. Call me. Like, but I'm just saying, like,
we should have it as the
domestic
dispute.
So anyway,
line.
I don't know. Was that even a non-issue? I don't even know. Like, I'm just saying, like, I think the point of what I'm trying to say here is that I think that our culture is just a little bit too skittish about boundaries.
Yeah.
It's like,
I agree.
It's like,
I agree.
It's not that big of a deal.
Bill Murray.
People are just terrified. No, but like, really, you're not that. You know what people used to say to me? They'd be like, you know, when I wasn't on social media really for a while, people would be like, gosh, where are you? And it's like, those are people that aren't even trying to get a hold of you, really. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you really wanted me, like, I'm right here.
Yeah.
But you're saying that in your lazy fake friend way, you couldn't get a hold of me.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, then we're not that close because, like, you...
Because you give everyone close your
people,
phone number.
No, because well, people used to say, like, dude, I couldn't find you. My email was on my website.
Mm.
Now, if you... Now, perhaps that is just an indication of how far we've gone as a society, but like, if you really needed to get a hold of me and you spent 2 minutes as opposed to 30 seconds, you could have found me immediately.
Exactly. Because basically what he's saying, that person that's saying, where are you, is that they just want to sort of watch you like a bit of voyeurism. They want to see what you're doing, but they don't actually want to connect with you. And the fact that you're not on social media means that they can't watch what you're doing. It's like you don't exist. But that's because you're not friends enough for you, for him to contact you via email or mobile phone. He just wants to look at you on social media, and that's his way of seeing you. You know, he's not seeing you in real life, so he wants to see you in social, on social media, but you're not.
I suppose, I don't know. I'm just saying, I suppose out of office replies could be a bit like, ugh, they make you look like Mr. Big Shot. Like, because I know I used to get them from other people and be like, what? But if it's pleasant and just says like, hey, just like, I'm being, just call me. I've never done
an out of office. Oh, I did an out of office for work emails when I worked at Disney and NBC and stuff. But like on my personal email, there is no out of office at all. I think I only did an out of office on my personal email when we went to America by ship, because we were basically on a ship for 7 days.
But dude, I honestly, if they have your phone number, I think it's nicer.
Yeah.
It's like that thing where they say, like, some people, you know, like, I was listening to Zach Galifianakis, and he was like, when people go to take a photo with me, I just talk to them instead. It's like,
yeah
it's nice. Almost like, well, is that rude? That's the out of office in the real world. He's just going, no, just talk to, because you can look at that two ways. You can go, oh, he won't take a picture with me. Well, no, he just wants to talk to you. Mm. That's better, isn't it?
That's way better. But they don't get the souvenir. They want the souvenir. They don't, people that talk to celebrities, they don't really want to talk. They want to get the selfie, and they want to then go up to their friends and go, look who I saw.
But I'm not eliminating communication. I'm opening it to a different channel, that's all.
Yeah.
Because I just don't like to keep, I think none of us do. I really do think it's just, email is a great tool, but I think it just gets a little abused to where it's like, what was the point of the so many times, this is what made me do the out of office, is like, how many times did like a chain of emails that took 3 days could have been a 5-minute conversation? So anyway, whatever.
I think it goes back to the whole, everyone needs to be available all the time. You know, this is the era that we're living in, that if you're not available at any point of the day, then it's like panic, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas back in the 80s and 90s, it was like, oh yeah, some people you couldn't get hold of, you'd have to wait a week until you got hold of them. About a week.
So, okay. So yeah, maybe I'll take the about a week off. I don't want anyone to feel like I'm being rude. I'm certainly not. I've had it for so long. That's the thing. I've had it for so long. And I curated it so much at the time to make it not rude, that it being brought to my attention recently is, I was just kind of like, oh man, really? Because it's been working for like 5 years and I've really not experienced anyone saying it's rude. People have always just been like, oh, I love that, it's funny.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just they're hiding it, but they always kind of said it to me like, yeah, that's kind of, I don't know, whatever.
I think people are used to very corporate sounding OOOs, and yours is very like,
yeah, it's like, chilled out, here's my number.
Yeah.
You don't get that from some corporate. He goes, I'm out of the office doing something really important. I'll get back to you when I feel like it. Mine's like, hey, call me up. Here's my postcode. Come on over and hang out. I'm here, baby.
It's my postcode.
I'm just not on my
email.
You don't
put our postcode on it, do you?
I should. Put my address. How much nicer can I be? I'll say, hey, in about
Social
a week.
Social security number.
I'll be in about a week. Here's my bank details in the meantime, just for assurance. You hang on to that. If I don't get back to you, take out as much funds as you need. Just withdraw whatever amount you see fit. Anyway, something we can all agree on, or SWCAAO. As I like to abbreviate it.
Swakawa.
Facebook will occasionally remind you of things that have happened in your, like, I guess Facebook does this thing. I'm not on Facebook very much, but it will ever. Let's be honest.
You've got automated stuff on Facebook, though, because you promote the podcast on Facebook.
Oh, I promote. Yeah, I'm not like on it though. You know what I'm saying? So I don't really know, because it's like a fan page. It's like a fan page anyway. So, it's all about TikTok. Hello, have fun on Facebook, boomer. So, but they will. It will say memories or something? Is this something that it does? It
Facebook
says
Facebook memories.
Okay, so it goes, here's what you were doing a year ago today, right? Yeah.
Or 10 years ago today.
And we can both agree, even though I don't see it very often, but I certainly can understand, this is a triggering, experience.
It's awful. I hate the Facebook memory. Okay, first of all, Facebook seems to have this, like, it somehow does not realize that your ex-boyfriend is your ex-boyfriend. And so the Facebook memory will like bring up a memory of you and your ex-boyfriend having lunch like 10 years ago and be like, look how happy you were 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, mortified. And then you know that your ex-boyfriend is probably getting the same notification. So you're like, oh Jesus
Christ. What if it did a thing now? Because it's like, who doesn't loathe themselves? Who doesn't hate who they were yesterday? You know what I mean?
No,
I was just saying, it should do a thing now where it's like, it should show you who you're probably going to be in a year if you keep doing what you're doing. Like, could the algorithm just be like, okay, listen, we've collated all of your experiences up to this point. You keep on the path you're on. Here's a photo of you in a year. And it's either like it's amazing, you're just like on a yacht, or it's just you're passed out in front of a Weatherspoons. It'd be amazing. And you'd be like, oh, cool.
More harrowing than the Facebook memory. But I think the Facebook memory, even if it's a good memory, I don't enjoy it because I hate looking back at old photos of myself when I had collagen in my skin. I'm just like, I don't want to be reminded that I had collagen. It's rapidly declining. I'm aware of this. I do not need this documented. Yes, I had a lovely time at Weatherspoons with my girlfriends, but no, I don't want to be reminded of how I looked 5 years ago.
I think also this is one of those situations where you and I forget that we're probably weird people. Like, what did we listen to? What was it? Erica Jong, right? Erica Jong. We were listening to that interview with that author. And she just said today, a writer lives every day like they're an open wound that never heals or something like that. And I just thought, okay, you're a writer. Like, you're a little bit more sensitive. I'd probably put myself in that camp. And I just think, like, maybe normal people just, like, maybe we're weird. Normal people go, oh, that was fun. Whereas I go, I remember that. Oh, man, that was around the time I was in high school. And wedgies.
It's really triggering for some reason. Even if it's a good memory, though, that's what annoys me. I'm just like,
I want to live in the past, man.
I don't like living in the past because I know friends that they will actually message me the Facebook memory. And they're like, oh, my God, those were the days. And it's like, yeah, those were really fun days. But I don't like looking back on the past very much. It's very strange.
No,
like,
yeah.
It just doesn't feel, I don't know, it doesn't feel productive, or it doesn't feel, like, I love reminiscing, but I don't know, I'm always on to the next thing, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, there's something about looking back on it.
Yeah, I just think that those algorithms are so designed to make profit, and they could do so much more. Like, that idea I had, I think I want to put that out there to Zuckerberg.
Yeah, it's like that's like future predicting.
Yeah, why not? How helpful could that be? Hey,
you carry on like this,
kid,
you're going to end up like
exactly.
This.
Hey, kid, listen, we got the algorithm working here. We've been looking at your posts and your likes and the things that you're looking at. This is you in 6 months. Get it together.
Yeah, and then the end, like they might do one where it's like, this is going to be you in 20 years' time. And then it's like a picture of your mother.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I already knew that.
And I'd be like, well, then I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Because I'm going to be a strong, powerful woman who knows how to relax.
What, is that my mum?
Oh, mine or yours?
Oh, yes. You are turning into your mother. You definitely are. You have the same morning routine as your mother.
It's a beautiful thing when you realize
Wake up, coffee, days of their lives.
Get my ideas out there. Because I'll just throw this in at the end. My ideas often get, I say things and I've said things on podcasts and nobody cares. And then I see them 2 years later, some bigger celebrity says it and everyone's like, oh, good point. You know? So, like, I have these kind of ideas. So you keep an eye out for the Facebook future algorithm, because I bet you, old Smuggerberg,
he's going to come out there. He's going to post.
Oh, Zuckerberg is going to be out there with his expressionless, eyebrowless face, just droning on about this new technology. And I'm going to be going, huh? Where's my cut, Z?
Yeah.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. We just want to tell you that we appreciate you guys getting involved. We had some comments about last
episode. Oh, yes, I want to read out a comment from Isabel Nicholson.
Yes.
She is a geologist from Sheffield.
Yeah.
And she said, Russell is so wrong. Your hair does wash itself and everybody knows it. And she says she's also a member of the hashtag No Poo movement.
Well, there
Shout
you
out
go.
To Izzy. She sounds like my kind of girl.
Well, there you go. All right, then. Yeah, the jury came back with the verdict. I was wrong on that one. Your hair and you know what? I just want to add to that. If you believe your hair washes itself, then you do you. Why am I trying to stand in the way of it? This isn't me. I'm not a, you know, I'm mystical. So I go for it. If it feels good, do it. So thanks for getting involved, everybody. This podcast is independent. We want to impress that upon you. You might not know about the podcasting world, and this is, no slamming anybody else. This is good for them. Podcasts can have big productions behind them, producers, powerful, you know, forces pushing it out into the world. This is two people in their kitchen, old school.
Yeah.
Like it was back in
the day.
2007, when two people would just come together with a couple of microphones and express themselves.
Before the commodification of podcasts.
Before, like, Spotify could give you... Yeah, before Spotify could give you, like, $1 billion. Yeah. And Elon Musk comes on your podcast and gets high. So the only reason we say that is we just want to say that we rely on you guys, so thank you very much. So just share it as much as you can. Write a review and give us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you can review it. Those kind of things massively help. But look, we know you're busy. So just keep listening and tell somebody about it. And we'll keep making them. We'll see you next week. Yes, Sarah?
Yes, Captain.
Never. Wait, can we go one episode where you don't give these like little hints that I'm secretly abusing you? I feel like people are going to decode this podcast. You're going to get those like conspiracy theory people that are
Captain.
Like, she calls him Captain. We believe that he doesn't even let her out until it's podcast time.
Anyway. Well, you told me to let you speak on this one, so I was trying to be obedient.
I said we should try to let each other. Well, that's just great. You know what? Get back in the hole. All right, we'll see you next week.